Blog Talk Radio.
I'm declaring carrots as our official snack on GGR.
Yay! I need some of those. I know, I am tired this morning. There was a storm, and it started at, like, the butt crack of dawn. Dawn, and woke me up. Oh, my God, I sound horrible. And, yeah, Ginger without sleep is not a happy camper.
She's not perky.
No. I'm trying. I really am, but, Oh, good morning, Joe. Good morning, Horace. Yay! I'm trying. I really am trying.
Poor baby.
It did, and it was so loud, and the house was, like, shaking. I was all like, am I going to have to go to the storm shelter? Because I don't want to go to the storm shelter, but I will if I have to. That was one of those, what is going on? Yeah. I mean, I even got up and put on clothes because, I mean, it was
you didn't have on clothes. Let's just hear more about that, Ginger.
They say it's good for the skin if you don't sleep with clothes on.
Mm-hmm. Was that what you said?
Yeah.
It's good for some skin, all right. Anyway. Said the woman who sleeps nude as well.
Yeah.
We just had a whole bunch of guys went, oh, my God. It's not sexual. It's cold. We live in Texas, and it's hot. Trust me, if I lived up north, when it's cold, I sleep in, like, more clothes than God.
It's so hot sometimes. So, yeah, you got to do what you can do to stay cool.
Yep. So I crank up the AC as high as it will go, put a fan on me, and then I wrap up in a comforter. Figure that one out. I have to have it cold when I sleep is all it is. It has to be cold.
Yeah. I feel you there.
It's too hot. I can't sleep.
True story, man. And when we talk about hot in Texas, we're talking about hot.
It was 92 yesterday.
Ooh. Yeah, I know. I walked outside. I was like, no, never mind.
Nah, I think I'm going to go back inside now.
Yep. Tried it. Decided not. No, sorry.
And as we tell y'all, sometimes you walk outside and it's like you walk into one of those steamy saunas where you can hardly breathe. That's what it was like yesterday when I went outside in the morning. And I'm serious, I did a U-turn. I opened the door, went out. Oh, it's such a lovely. Go back in, slam.
Never mind. It's really pretty through the windows.
Exactly. That's what I did. I looked outside. Oh, it's so pretty out there. I am not going out there. Thanks.
No, but yeah. And actually, because I told you I put one of those emergency blankets in the window of my bedroom to block out the light. That actually blocks out the heat too some. So that's good.
I'm going to need one of those.
It's like the heat away from my room.
Yeah, I'm going to need some of that.
It's like $2 at Walmart. It's very nice.
What are they called, Ginger? Where would we...
Emergency blankets. They're in the camping
lot. It's called an emergency blanket?
Yeah.
That's quite interesting. I will have to get myself one of those.
Yeah, it's made out of some kind of plastic or something. I don't know. It's really thin. It's like paper thin.
Really?
Uh-huh.
You said blanket and I picture something.
No. It's silver metallic looking, and it's like what people wrap themselves up in, you know, if they're out in the snow or something, or needing a little...
As far as pimping games in our room?
He may be. What you doing over there?
He is pimping games in our room.
It's not Friday. Friday we do sales.
Horace, I need you to clear out your desk. Thanks. dirty. You know what to do with this one. All right, I got some juicy news. Yes, if you saw our tweet, pack up your corn and GTFO. That's right, Zynga, sending people packing. 520.
I saw that this morning.
520 people without a job this morning. They're closing their New York and Los Angeles offices. Zynga has announced the layoffs, 520 employees, which is approximately 18% of their global workforce. An additional report by All Things D also has the company shuttering offices in New York, Los Angeles, Austin, ouch, and Dallas. That cuts the cuts in staff and infrastructure will lead to a cost savings of $70 to $80 million, and the workforce reduction is expected to be complete by August of this year. In a letter to the employees, Mark Penkis said that the company is shifting towards mobile development instead of the social browser games that led to its rise. Really? I don't think that's going to help you. You know what's causing your problems is your games suck, Penkis. Okay, so today is a hard day, he says, for Zynga, and an emotional one for every employee of our company. The impact of those layoffs will be felt across every group in the company. The scale that served us so well in building and delivering the leading social gaming service on the web is now making it hard to successfully lead across mobile and multi-platform, which is where social games are going to be played.
Mm-hmm.
These moves, while hard to face today, represent a proactive commitment to our mission of connecting the world through games. Mobile and touch screens are revolutionizing gaming. Our opportunity is to make mobile gaming truly social by offering people new, fun ways to meet, play, and connect. By reducing our cost structure today, we will offer our teams the runway they need to take risks and develop these breakthrough new social experiences. Zynga is projecting net losses for the second quarter. Around $28.5 to $39 million is what they're reporting as a loss.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
Now, somebody's saying, you know, Facebook games are in decline. I can agree with you there. I think that has more to do with, again, sucky games. Nobody wants to play a game. And after a while, even people who liked it get tired of click, click, click.
Yeah, exactly. As Corey noticed, I was playing a game when she got a hold of me this morning, and I'm not for sure what I think. It's
Disney Girl?
Yeah. It's
I don't know.
Like, she got a job, and she's supposed to be going off to work, and she goes out the door, and that's it. And then, like, it counts down for, like, 3 seconds, and then she's back.
She comes back. Yeah, instead of letting you go to work and maybe making a mini game out of it or something, I don't know, they're not using their imagination.
There was some potential there that they're dropping.
Yeah, see, you did exactly what I did. When you start off, there is potential, and you're like, okay, wait a minute, they might have something here. And then when you get there, you're like, oh, come on. You're just like the rest of them.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm going to be a chef. Because, you know, it gives you the choice.
Uh-huh.
You know, did I want to be a fashion designer? Did I want to be a celebrity chef? Or did I want to be a writer? And I was like, chef looks fun. I can do that. And then I get over there, and literally she goes out the door to wash dishes, and it counts down for like 3 seconds, and then she comes back. And I was like, wait a minute, where's my mini game?
Yes, they have the opportunity there to actually take you to a restaurant and have you wash dishes with the clock ticking or something.
Yeah.
You know, and you had to wash so much off and then put them to the side carefully and try not to break. But they're not going the next step. That's why the Facebook games are failing. They get to be boring after a while. There's nothing else to them. I don't want to click and see my character leave and then come back.
Yeah, I know. Another friend of me is trying to get me back into Farmville, too, and I'm like, I'm Farmville'd out.
They didn't do anything with it. I thought, remember, we came in when they were doing beta, and it was pretty, and I said, okay, hopefully they're going to add some more to this, because it looked like it. They were, you remember, they were showing you, oh, you can win prize things, and you can mix these two things together, and then you'll come up with this, and that was pretty much the end of it, and that's why they're having to fire people today. You guys are like, I can't even say that you're the fast food of development. Fast food restaurants are even learning to do better than that. Hell, Wendy's is selling better food, so come on.
Exactly. All right, so if I can get the window open. Come on. There we go. Judge modifies the EA football game Monopoly settlement. A federal judge has ruled that consumers who bought football-related video games from EA between 2005 and 2012 can get three times as much from an earlier settlement. The new judgment is related to a class action lawsuit filed by lead plaintiffs Jeffrey Pickover and Jeffrey Lawrence in 2008. The lawsuit claimed that EA killed off all competition in the football video game market by licensing every conceivable football franchise, including National Football League, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the Arena Football League. Wow, I almost forgot about that.
Yeah.
And the Collegiate Licensing Company. By securing all of these licenses, the lawsuit claimed that EA had created a monopoly, in turn let them charge more money for their various games.
Mm-hmm.
For serving as lead plaintiffs, Pacover and Lawrence will each get $5,000. Their attorneys, Hoggins, Berman, Sobel, Shapiro, and the Painter Law Firm, will get $7.29 million in fees plus $2 million in reimbursement for expenses.
Wow.
As part of the settlement, EA cannot renew its exclusive NCAA, NCAA, and CLC football licenses for at least 5 years after they expire in 2014. EA is also barred from grabbing exclusive rights to AFL for 5 years. EA's licensing agreement with the NFL was not affected.
Wow. Yeah, because they announced it on Microsoft that they still had a licensing agreement.
Yeah.
With NFL.
So what we're going to be seeing on the new Xbox Bone is it's just going to be the NFL games then, right? Because 2014, that's going to mean no arena, no nothing.
I'm sure they got a Madden in the pipe already because, you know, they do one every year. So we'll get one more of those, and we'll get a couple more collegiate games from this year.
That's it.
At least for 5 years. I'm looking forward to it.
That lady is singing all over that.
I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I always prefer the ESPN football to them anyway because of the simulation thing. You know, I didn't want to – if I was going to play football, I wanted my one football player, and I had to keep track of him, not the whole team. Or I have to keep track of the whole team and not worry about the one. I like those things. Now, see, Joe is arguing with me about fast food places. We don't have a Panera here in Texas, but our Wendy's here – in Houston, and I think a couple of other southern states, are actually doing very well. They've been named best fast food restaurant because they're now selling things like freshly cut turkey with, you know.
Where did we go the other day? We went to Carl's Jr., and I'd never been there before. Those hamburgers were the best hamburgers I've ever had at a fast food place.
Where's Panera? I don't see any Panera. You have to show me where that one is. He's saying there's Panera in Houston. I have never seen one. But like I said, I know our Wendy's is awesome. Then with their toasted bread and their wheat bread, and they got you have to be looking for this stuff. It's not like they put it in front of your face. They have a whole menu that's just nothing but healthy stuff, and it's delicious.
See, I'm going to check that out because we didn't go there last time because every time I've been to Wendy's, it's been greasy and gross. So
you're looking at burgers and stuff like that, but I don't know about all of them, but I know, like, especially the one down the street from me, it's right across from the university. It's awesome. They have all kinds of fresh food. They'll sell a combo that has water, you know, the bottled water, if that's what you like, the baked chips, you know, and a freshly made sandwich with the fresh lettuce and tomato, whatever you want on it, or the pita bread, you know, instead of the chicken sandwich, or, you know, you can still have your fat full and greasy stuff. And then they have, of course, their cheapy menu. And we do have Whole Foods. I wasn't that fond of Whole Foods.
I have Whole Foods here.
Our Whole Foods wasn't that healthy. I've gone there to eat. They don't have all that much health.
I am so sad. As somebody who has to have the gluten-free stuff, I found a place here in town who sold gluten-free.
Yes!
And now they've stopped carrying a lot of it. It's like, no!
No more gluten-free
pizza crust. No more.
Ginger, this is what you do. You open yourself a restaurant gamer cafe that sells gluten-free stuff. There you go.
Seriously, I was like, no, bring it back. Bring it back. I'm going to have to order it offline now. I'm very upset about this.
I just want to tell you all these carrots are delicious.
I want carrots.
They're so delicious.
I'm upset. You've got carrots and I don't.
Well, you had rice cakes before and I didn't.
That's true. Mm. All right, so Guild Wars 2.
Wait. Okay, go ahead.
I know she did. Okay, so Guild Wars 2 gets a new update. Yay! Let me get this video going for y'all. There we go. Guild Wars 2 of Dragon Bash Festival starts Tuesday, the 11th of June, so that's next week. Oh, it's got sound. Where's the sound? Stop with the sound. Okay. The Dragon Bash Festival is packed with new content and features. We got a couple of new rewards. Holographic dragon wings. That's cool. Dedicated festival goers can earn 2 sets of exclusive dragon wings. That is still loud. I've got that like turned just about. There we go. All right, so. Dedicated festival goers can earn 2 sets of exclusive dragon wings by participating in Dragon Bash activities. Exclusive weapon skins. Those who take part can earn the exclusive dragon's jade weapon skins only available during the Dragon Bash. I'm going to have to get in there for this. A couple of new mini games. Dragon Ball, the ancient Tyrian? Yeah, the ancient Tyrian pastime of Dragon Ball returns. Teams of players test their skills against one another in this fast-paced game of reflexes. Moa Racing, Farshore Ward in Lion's Arch, is the site of the Fast and Furious Moa races, where anything can happen. Dragon effigies and pinatas. Yay for pinatas. I love pinatas. Combustible dragon effigies. Let me get this going again. Have been hidden everywhere. Perform a ritual dance to light them and receive a temporary boost. Keep an eye open for dragon pinatas strung up in honor of the festival, then break them open to receive tasty Dragon Bash candy. Two new activities. A unique festival helm, watch the skies above Lion's Arch come alive with an explosive fireworks show every 2 hours from Friday the 14th of June at 1700 BST to Monday 17th of June at 1700 BST. Stay through the finale and receive a unique festival helm, the Horns of the Dragon. And then finally, you've got the lighting ceremony, Tuesday the 18th of June, gather on the grand piazza of Lion's Arch and join the jovial Magnus the Bloody Handed as he presides over an evening of merriment and cheer over the lighting of the dragon effigies. I'm going to have to get in. I haven't been in Dragons. Oh, good lord. I haven't been in Guild Wars 2 in a while. But this looks actually kind of cool. So I'm going to have to log in and check it out. Yeah! Seahorse is singing. That's awesome. Yay! All right, what is Corey dinging me with? All right, Corey, you there? Are you muted, Corey?
I was eating carrots.
Mm-hmm. Nom, 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 nom. All right, I got your video.
I didn't even know I was muted. I was trying to eat quietly while you were talking. I'm like, don't crunch too loud.
That's funny.
Yay, Fable.
You sound so excited. No, you're supposed to be... Yay, Fable!
I would be if it was a new one. Yeah. Uh-oh. So apparently, Lionhead is teasing a remake of Fable 1 for the Xbox 360, the new Xbox 360. Well, it might be for the old one. Who knows? Who cares? Larry Major Nelson Herb announced the Fable 1 HD remake is going to be out on the Fable anniversary. Lionhead's team Timmons, lead designer, joined him on a podcast on Major Nelson's podcast to share the details of the game. Fable 1 has had an extraordinary makeover for the Fable anniversary, which you're seeing there on the screen.
So there's nothing giving you anything new. It's just HD.
Wait a minute. What's going on your screen?
I'm playing what you gave me.
Anyway, moving along. Is that what I gave you?
Yeah. From what I'm looking at, it seems like they're not actually giving you a new Fable.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it is a remake. Okay, there we go. Boo. Okay, so the visuals are now 1080p with better textures, a new lighting system, new I forgot you don't play Fable. You don't get the chicken joke. New facial animations, new cutscenes with apparently, which apparently look incredible, but then, of course, you would say that. The whole thing has been redone. There's a new save system that sounds like it uses some kind of checkpointing, which is stupid, and the content from the expanded PC version of the game, The Lost Chapters, is included. There are, of course, achievements now as well. There were achievements before. Why did they say that? Like, you know what?
Because they want to fool you.
And says, we're also doing something that's not been done before. Fable has always been about choices and consequences, so we're trying to put that into our achievements. Another key addition is smart glass integration, which allows you to call up a map of the world and take screenshots using a second touchscreen device. You may even be able to play the pub games. They have not added on multiplayer because they said it would be just that, an add-on.
But there are leaderboards, so now you can do chicken kicking scores. And finally, it'll be coming out this holiday. They don't have an exact date, but they're saying it's going to be out around the holidays. Yeah, let me tell you why I also don't sound excited. If you all were around, some of you were, when Gamenatrix was early days, this was one of my first crusades, was to go after Lionhead, because what was missing from this game?
A girl,
a playable female character. Am I going to have to protest again? I'm tired of repeating myself. There's no girl. I don't want it, and I don't want a remake. I don't care. That's why I didn't have Fable 1. It's not in my house. I still have my Fable 2 somewhere in here. And I will still yank it out and play with it every now and again. That sounded all kind of dirty. But you know what I mean. So
yank it out and play with it.
This is just ridiculous. I don't know. Why would you? Can we get a new Fable that actually has something different?
No, audio? What?
Wait, what happened?
Can you still hear us?
I don't know if they can hear us. Well, BT is still
on.
There
we go. Are we back? Hopefully we're back. I don't know. OBS has issues every once in a while.
Now, Horace is saying he wished they would remake Too Human. I didn't get to play that one. I'll tell you what I want to see a remake of. I don't know. I can't think of anything that isn't fine just the way it is. It's either good or it's bad. And some games need to be fixed, a la, I'm looking at you, Farmville.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Oh, I played that data game yesterday. It's interesting.
Data game?
Remember what we were talking about yesterday, the data, what was it, data dealer? Yeah, data dealer. They're still in beta,
okay, yeah.
It's interesting. I see they're going to have to do something else with it. It can get a little boring. I got bored, and I walked away and forgot I was playing it. That's when you know you have a good game.
That's not good at all.
I'm not smacking. All right, I'm crunching. Let's try that again. Was that better?
Man, see, he's making crunching noises. So I'm over here robbing candy out of my Star Wars candy thingy. Oh, I dropped my M&M. Oh, wait, listen. That's
yes,
M&M.
But mine won't kill me.
All right, so. Now that I'm crunching an M&M. Are you ready? Are you ready for some mushroom-loving?
Yes, I am.
Goomba-bumping fun, yeah? All right, so. With great success and countless quests down the gears, it's as if the powerful pairing of Mario and Luigi can defeat enemies in their sleep. In Mario & Luigi Dream Team Bros, released on the 12th of July, I'd like to tell them that's releasing, not released, releasing on the 12th of July for Nintendo 3DS family consoles, the brothers put such a theory to the test in a new adventure set on both an island near the realm of the Mushroom Kingdom and within the depths of Luigi's own dreams. So Luigi gets some love here? Yay! In this fourth installment of the popular RPG series Mario & Luigi, the story opens with Princess Peach and her staff, plus brothers Mario & Luigi in tow, being invited for a sightseeing trip to the mysterious Pillow Island by its equally mysterious proprietor, Dr. Snoozmore. But after an initially hospitable welcoming to the island, albeit with Dr. Snoozmore noticeably absent, things take a turn for the worse when Princess Peach is kidnapped. Imagine that.
Yet again, wow.
And pulled into a dream world by a new enemy in the series, the ghostly Bat King and Tasma. Yes, we get a new enemy. To chase down this new foe and rescue Princess Peach, Mario must enter this dream world through the dreams of a sleeping Luigi, whose brain is revealed to be on a wavelength with the population of PLO Island. The PLO folk alternating between Luigi's dream world and the real world, Mario and Luigi must solve puzzles, battle enemies, and even interact with creations of Luigi's own imagination in order to succeed. The relationship between the real world and dream world plays a critical role within the game. While roaming the PLO Island environment in the real world, Mario and Luigi need to combine equally Hugh's trademark brother moves, and while in the dream world, it is the power of Dream Luigi that is all important in supporting Mario. That's interesting. For example, Louis Gennari works are magical ways in which the player can interact with the dream world environment through Luigi's sleeping form. Whether it's tweaking Luigi's mustache or scratching his nose on the bottom screen of the console, this interaction provokes a reaction in the dream world, affecting the environment to the benefit of Mario. I'm going to say that's a little weird. Okay, so when a battle is won, the leveling up mechanic in a game follows a classic RPG formula, with experience points earned improving common attributes, such as health points and power, plus the addition of classic franchise attributes, such as bro points, needed to perform special attacks, and stash, that's right, stash, influencing the chance of Mario and Luigi scoring a critical hit in battle, remaining in this latest installment in the Mario and Luigi series. Also following previous games in the series is a badge reward system, whereby both brothers can find or buy badges in-game that can be combined to earn the brothers useful rewards in battle. Yay! Uncover the power of Dreamy Luigi in the latest adventure in the Mario and Luigi series when Mario and Luigi Dream Team Brothers come to the Nintendo 3DS family of consoles. 12th of July. Yay! They did not give me a price, though. So, all I'm going to say is that's a little weird. I don't want to be rubbing anything on Luigi when he's sleeping. That's just... I'm sorry. Maybe I'm like... Seriously, my first thought was... Yeah, that's not going to be good.
All right, so...
How can we rub on Luigi?
Speaking of rubbing things on people, you guys, there will be, you know...
Can I go into hard mode if we rub? Yeah, anyways.
Hey! Oh, my God! It's daytime! Look, it said the woman who's about to say this. Tits and Glass app been banned from Google Glass.
What?
And some, hey, let me give somebody a chance to turn their speaker down because they heard that. Tits and Glass app has been banned from Google Glass porn apps. The term... I'm sorry, y'all. Glass holes. Almost got an early, entirely new meaning today, according to VentureBeat, as the first porn app for Google Glass was released and then banned just as quickly as it was put up. Porn company Mekandi, and I'm not going to give Ginger the link for that because we've already put you guys in danger with me yelling out tits and glass. It calls itself the world's top app store for porn, released Tits and Glass just this morning. A very classy title, of course, as befits the porn industry. The app was designed to make authentic porn, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean, allowing users it's supposed to allow you to create, upload, and share photos, but not videos that are taken with Google Glass. Unlike other hands-free recording devices, wearing glass is easy and familiar. Mekandi co-founder McEwen, told Mashable, because of that, you can forget about the technology on your head and be in the moment. The result is an authentic look at the wearer's experiences. And if you're trying to figure out how it's authentic, we want you to go way back and watch a movie. What was that movie? God, I can't think of the name of it. It's way back from the 90s with Voldemort and Angela Bassett. I can't think of his name either. You know who I'm talking about. That movie where they had the exact same thing. It was like Google Glass. Matter of fact, I think it was a woman that wrote that movie, and she was one of the first people to use that camera technique that makes it look like you're actually in the moment. But anyway, so apparently Google was not a fan of this. The company changed its Glass platformer developer policies to ban porn apps just today, and it states, sexually explicit material. We don't allow glassware, content that contains nudity, graphic sexual acts, or sexually explicit material. Google has zero tolerance policy against child pornography. If we become aware of content with child pornography, we will report it to the appropriate authorities and delete the Google accounts of those involved with the distribution. No, you won't, because the authorities are going to want those accounts. Duh, Google. The result, as Mekandi posted on its blog, is that the app will need to change how it can continue to be a porn app without nudity, graphic sex acts, or sexually explicit material is a mystery. Others have managed it on the Apple App Store, Playboy. James Adams, CEO of Mekandi, said that Google gave no warning of this new provision, and he states, when we received our glass and started developing our app 2 weeks ago, we went through the policy very carefully to make sure we were developing the app within the terms. We double-checked again last week when making the site live on the Internet and available for install for testing during last week's announcement. We were not notified of any changes and still haven't been notified by Google. We also double-checked our emails to see if any notifications of policy changes were announced, but we have not found any such emails. This is clearly a decision by Google. While porn is often an early adopter stimulus, for new technology. Google does not want Glass to become known as a personal porn device. And just imagine the legal and ethical issues that could arise from a poorly coded app accidentally recording and mistakenly uploading photos. Much better to leave those worms in the can. But they could still mistakenly upload some photos when you're not trying to of somebody new. Just happens to be, what if you have them on when your husband or wife is coming out of the shower?
Porn pics! Yay!
I think Google's wrong in this one, guys. Let people, yeah. I agree with Horace's assertion. He says, I'm going to kind of parallel here. Blaming games for violence is kind of like you're finding your dad's Playboy under the bed and then blaming Playboy. Hey, this was not, I don't agree with this, Google. I mean, not that we would or wouldn't be watching porn on Google Glass, but why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I'm a live and let live kind of gal. If somebody wants to watch their porn on their Google Glass, why can't they? They paid $1,200. Or wait a minute, I'm sorry. It's not even 12, isn't it? $2,500 for one of these? Three, four, five. How much is this damn thing now? It keeps going up. You know, you pay for it. What is it with people when we buy stuff now? They tell us what we can do with our own things.
I don't know.
I buy my computer. You tell me I can't download stuff to it unless you say I can. I buy software, I can only give it to whoever you say I can give it to. How is it mine if you get to tell me what to do with it? I'm trying to figure that out.
I don't know, but apparently they seem to think that they can lease these things to us. And all I gotta say, if they're leasing them to us, if it breaks,
are you gonna fix it?
You have to do with a leased car. If something breaks on it, you take it in and they fix it.
Damn straight. I need my stuff to be mine or you need to start taking care of it. How about that?
No, right? Either it's mine or you do the upkeep on it. Which is it?
Word.
Because I'm pretty sure the first time somebody sends in something that's covered in DNA, y'all are going to change your tune really quick. All right. Okay, so who's watching who? Microsoft's questionable rewards patent for Xbox One. Alright, so there's an article that GamePolitics.com has up. They pulled it from TechDirt that details a Microsoft patent application related to the Xbox One console that might give you a little pause. The patent awards and achievements across TV ecosystem uses the Kinect camera and sensors to tell whether a person is watching an advertisement. If that person is paying attention to the ad, a reward system detailed in the patent would give the viewer points or some other type of reward that could be redeemed for various types of entertainment.
Who is coming up with this stupid BS? Who is...
The devil, apparently. a method for awarding a user is provided. The method comprises receiving a user viewing goal detailing a specific linear video content viewing behavior of the user. The method also includes receiving one or more user-specific reports of all linear video content viewing behaviors of the user while using each of a plurality of different applications and granting an award to the user if the user's specific reports collectively indicate the user viewing goal is reached by the user. All right, so the concern is that while you're watching TV, Microsoft or its reward system is watching you. Microsoft has already said that users can turn the Kinect off if they want to and still operate the Xbox One, which is new.
That's a lie.
Yeah, but those who do not know about this reward system or don't pay too much attention to news about the system might end up being watched when they don't want to be. Wow. And another concern is, could it be revamped to punish users in some ways instead?
Of course it can.
That is not cute!
You didn't watch our commercial, therefore you can't have your downloaded content for your game. I'm sorry.
All right, Microsoft, which one of you sold their soul to the devil for this? Because all I got to say is somebody sold their soul to the devil to come up with these evil ideas. Stop it! Stop it! Go get your, you know, go get yourself a jar of dirt. You'll be okay. But stop it.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is just ridiculous.
And I know.
And I'm sorry. I'm at the point where I'm not going to trust a thing Microsoft says about the Xbox Phone until it's released. because it seems like they're flip-flopping back and forth. And until I actually see somebody who has it and I can check it out, no, and I'm still not going to get it. So, F you, Microsoft, you can keep it.
Ooh.
PS4, baby!
Well, all I got to say, I got a little bit of news for you there. E3, I want to listen to me really quickly. Come close to the speaker. E3, better watch your back.
Mm-hmm.
Games journalist Keith Stewart and developer George Backer have joined forces with Loading Bar in Soho to host an alternative games event during E3 next week. The event will feature 30 game developers, live streams from the E3 press conference, and panels from industry experts, and is sponsored by PlayStation and PlayJam. Oh, they said, we've been sort of amazed and taken aback by the response to what is going to be called E2, spelled E-T-O-O. What started as a conversation on Twitter has somehow turned out to be a sellout event that could see some amazing developers mingling with gamers and drinking cocktails, which could go horribly wrong. Please don't ask Sherpa to that, Keith there. He says, we have a great list of developers already, people like Tom Francis, who just released Gunpoint to huge acclaim, Jim Rossignol, who is bringing his hugely compromising, procedurally generated survival shooter, Sir, You Are Being Hunted, and then there's Spilt Milk Studios. I want to play that game just because of the title. Spilt Milk Studios with the frankly awe-inspiring Hugitron, and Mike Bissell, who will hopefully talk about life after his BAFTA award-winning Thomas Was Alone. And also Sega, Ubisoft, and Sony will all have games there. The Last of Us will be there before it's in the shop, so you can actually play it there at this event if you don't get to it at E3, which I don't think you will. So many games. In effect, it's E3 miniaturized by about 1,000, and then plonked right next to where the Raymond Review Bar used to be. I know where that is. You'll be able to literally taste the glamour. Oh, I need to be there. We need a big old gown covered in sparkling Miss Pac-Mans and some white shoes so I can step out onto the carpet. Anyway. I gotta learn how to sew. Like, I gotta learn how to sew. Okay, so the event starts on June 10th with free daily developer events and evening live stream shows. More information will be available at their official site, which is e2london.com. PlayStation is pretty excited about E2, said Dave Wilson, who's the head of PR for PlayStation UK, as well as giving attendees a chance to witness our E3 conference live. There'll be loads of time to get hands-on with a range of awesome games from the blockbuster Last of Us to the small, beautifully formed Rain.
I'm sorry? What?
I'm kind of like, whoa. If they've already sold out, next year is only going to get better.
Yes. Totally.
They're
going to
start
stealing
people away. And if you're like, how
can
I?
We've been warning you, E3, but nobody ever listens to us.
Somebody's going to come and get you. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. You're going to get cut. All right. So, I got to show y'all this because it's really cool. Our EVE Online fans. Yay. Looks like y'all are getting a new expansion for free. CCP Games, the leading independent developer of massively multiplayer online games, has released the 19th free expansion for EVE Online, which is the most successful science fiction MMO of all time.
I concur.
EVE Online Odyssey revitalizes exploration of the cosmic frontier, fortifying one of the greatest inspirational forces for those who have come to experience the EVE universe during its 10 amazing years. Changes the scanning, hidden sites, and discovery are just a few of the additions designed to help pilots continue their epic journeys through New Eden. Odyssey introduces the Sensor Overlay, a new system that helps players uncover the riches, riddles, and relics hidden among the stars. This improved scanner sports a streamlined user interface with gorgeous visuals and improved utility, sure to inspire new players and veteran explorers to undock for fresh adventures. EVE Online Odyssey brings evolved and enhanced spaceship metrics for multiple ship classes and redistributed stellar resource landscape, exploration sites, and NPC loot across the universe. These changes will shake up EVE's player-driven economy and rattle tenuous diplomatic ties between even the largest player alliances of New Eden. Allegiances will shift, markets will boom and crash, and fresh wars will rage across the cosmos as EVE's notorious pilots do what they do best, troll, follow their ambitions and live in their own unique and dramatic stories. Just in time for these upheavals, Odyssey will also Odyssey also rolls out brand new Navy battle cruisers in which to explore, exploit, and conquer the galaxy. Player owned star bases have also gotten an update, as the new expansion introduces dozens of fixes, updates, user interface innovations, and enhanced features such as radial menus and probe formations to make EVE Online more accessible without sacrificing its world-renowned depth. Odyssey is about revisiting the original promise of EVE Online, a truly massive universe filled with danger, opportunity, and wonder. This is coming from Andy Nordgren, senior producer for EVE Online. Yet the true excitement and drama comes, and always in EVE, as always in EVE, from the interaction between players vying to attain the same goals. Odyssey adds fuel to that fire. This looks really cool. Celebrating 10 years of consecutive growth, EVE Online boasts over 500,000 subscribers worldwide. Are these current? With the mercenaries of newly launched Dust514, which is free to download and play on the PlayStation 3, invading the EVE universe. There's no better time for players to begin their own Odyssey in the world's largest universe as its second decade begins. Seriously, I almost want to play this. This sounds like a lot of fun. And you don't have a Kinect because Kinects are blech. Blech.
They are indeed.
Yes. Yes, yes.
All right, Ginger. Yeah, I have to do it. Zombie Watch! All right, Telltale Games is releasing a teaser, or they released a teaser, and it's very much a teaser if you look right there, what Ginger gave you. It's just that. It's a teaser video of what looks like the second season of its excellent episodic The Walking Dead adaption. The clip titled Day 2 appears to show a missing persons board on which a photo of a new character, Vince, is posted. A notice recommending people evacuate immediately to designated shelters is also briefly visible there in the trailer. The series' first episode was named A New Day, suggesting that Day 2 refers to the series' second season, but Telltale also previously teased a little something extra would be released before the Tide Gamers, over. The Walking Dead's second round of episodes is expected to arrive this autumn. You can hang on to your first season phase. Telltale has said that the next batch of episodes may be able to import them. That's good design right there. Telltale, y'all are kicking all kinds of ass. Who would have known? Who would have sunk it?
Exactly. And Telltale makes amazing games. Just amazing. I love the guys over there. Guys and girls, whoever. Right.
Mostly girls, actually.
Mostly girls? See, that's even better right there.
That is proof right there that if you start integrating more women into your company, you come up with something new and unique that is, like, top-notch, because this has been kicking ass since it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
All right. Content warning. This video may be inappropriate for some users. All right. Let me get it going for you. All right. There we go. Company of Heroes 2, open beta. Yay! Relic Entertainment today announced that the open beta starts the eagerly anticipated real-time strategy game, Company of Heroes 2, will launch later today and run until the 18th of June.
No!
Featuring the title's critically acclaimed multiplayer mode, the open beta will allow players to experience competitive and cooperative gameplay on 6 of the game's maps. The open beta will also allow gamers to test out the first 45 levels of the game's progression and bulletin system. That looks really cool, actually. That is really neat looking. As an added incentive, players who participate in the open beta will get to retain all progression and unlocks earned during this period if they purchase the game within the first 60 days of launch and play it on the same Steam account as the beta. That's cool. Greg Wilson, producer of Company of Heroes 2, says, "We have been working hard since the closed beta, balancing and improving all areas of the game, as well as adding new matchmaking servers. COH2 has had one of the most successful beta programs we've ever run at Relic, and the support of the fans has been a critical factor, making the game more balanced and stable for launch."
Every time you say COH, I think City of Heroes, not Company.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Corey. I'm sorry. Oh, look at the explosion.
No.
Hey, that guy just got totally blown up in the air. Did y'all see that?
Okay, that was funny. I'm sorry. That's one of the things that always makes me laugh when I play Halo with people.
There, and then it was gone.
Then they get when I get blown up in the air, I'm the one who causes the blow up in the air. I think that is hilarious, and I cause it quite often. But speaking of Halo, Ginger, throw up my video. Speaking of Halo, Halo Spartan Assault is a top-down twin-stick shooter for Windows 8 devices inspired by the classic arcade shooters Robotron and Total Carnage. This is a spinoff, and it's a co-production between 343 and Gatling Gear's developer Vanguard Games, and is due out July of this year for a mere $6.99. The UK price is yet to be announced. Spartan Assault will run on any device that runs Windows 8, including the Surface tablet, Windows 8 phones, and Windows 8 PCs. So if you don't have any of those, I guess you're SOL.
I've got a tablet I may have to try it out on.
You got a Windows tablet?
No, I have an Android tablet.
Does it run Windows 8?
I don't know.
If
I don't think so.
Then you can't play it. Your progress. Damn you, Halo! Not hear what I said. Any device that runs Windows 8, including the Surface.
Why no Android? Come on, Android.
No, they don't care. Your progress is supposed to be saved across
multiple platforms. Halo, it should totally run on the Droid.
I agree. It's supposed to be saved across multiple platforms, so you can start on Surface and then continue to Windows 8 phone. Basically, they're trying to take a little bit of the PS3 action there. While the game has been optimized for touch devices, you can use a mouse and keyboard if your device supports it. Xbox 360 controller support for the PC version will be added a couple of weeks after launch.
You Halo people, I'll just wait for, you know, Bungie to put it on the Droid for Destiny.
Because we know, well, you know, Bungie may come back and snatch up their IP and then be like, by the way, we're putting this on all mobile devices except for Xbox, any Xbox, anything. Yeah. Anyway, 343 executive Dan Abe told Eurogamer
stop molesting our game franchise.
Spartan Assault uses virtual thumbsticks on either side of a touch device, which I find to be cumbersome, actually, on a tablet. The left controls the movement of your Spartan. The right controls the direction of fire. There's a subtle lock-on assist to help you out, and you can throw grenades, switch weapons, melee, and jack ground vehicles using taps of the screen, but you can't jump, and there are no flying vehicles.
What, you can't jump?
It's top-down, so even if you jumped, really. The adaptive virtual thumbsticks move with you as your thumbs slide around the touch device. The story is set between the events of Halo 3 and 4 and revolves around Commander Sarah Palmer's rise from ODST to Spartan. The 25 missions are UNSC Infinity simulations of past battles against the Covenant, and Abe reckons it should take upwards of 2 hours to work through the entire campaign. Really? Okay, anyway, there are multiple mission types, including...
Wait, did they say 2 hours to work through the campaign?
$6 and all you get is 2 hours. That's a movie.
60 or six?
It's $6.99. I guess that's not bad.
Oh, okay. Well,
but I've seen some games that are much more detailed that'll last you 20 to 30, 40 levels that are $6.99 on, you know, Apple Store and Android Store. Just saying, you know, I want to give a little more. Again, there's multiple mission types, including protection, escort, survival, and seek and destroy. As in Halo 4, the Spartan Assault you can customize your loadout, choosing your primary and secondary weapons, toggle skulls and boosters. In-game, you can earn experience points and achievements, and you'll unlock new abilities and weapons, including some entirely new to the sci-fi series. You can also unlock exclusive emblems for Halo 4. Looking forward, you're going to be able to unlock some other things as well. They're teasing. There's no multiplayer at launch. They said they'll consider adding it after the game goes live, but there are leaderboards and weekly challenges. Designs keep you coming back for more. Challenges don't make me come back for more. Sorry, guys. And predictably, there are in-app purchases, of course. You can grind to earn upgrades, or you can speed up your training, as Microsoft puts it, by buying credits for boosts, unique weapons, and armor abilities with real-time monies. Just stop it. Meanwhile, Microsoft has also announced a three-part comic book series called Halo Initiation from Dark Horse, which goes into more detail on Sarah Palmer's rise from ODST to Spartan, and it ties in with Spartan Assault. Stop it. You know what, 343? Go do something else. Go forge your own path, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
For you.
All right, so speaking of handheld gaming systems. Let me get this image up for you. There we go. All right, so WikiPad Gaming Tablet to redefine portable gaming experience. It's going to be available June the 11th. WikiPad Incorporated today announced its 7-inch WikiPad tablet will be available on June 11th at a retail price. price of $249 in the U.S., and with a U.K. and global launch planned for later this summer. Thanks to its award-winning and patented interchangeable game controller, WikiPad redefines the mobile tablet experience, bringing together the console-quality experience with the functionality and portability of a premium tablet. The launch of the WikiPad 7 tablet signals a transformative turning point in the direction of the mobile gaming industry. WikiPad's tablet combines the latest range of features found in a premium Android tablet. Here we go, Droid. Together with the unrivaled console video game experience only available with a gamepad. That's coming from Matthew Joines? Anyways, chairman of WikiPad Inc. There is no other mobile device on the market that possesses WikiPad's unique functionality and versatility, and all available with full warranty and customer support at an entry-level price point. That's coming from Fraser Townley, who is president of sales at WikiPad Inc. The WikiPad is the only tablet to possess both a unique combination of a console-quality gaming experience with the functionality and portability of a tablet, thanks to its award-winning and patented detachable dual analog controller. WikiPad offers a multi-capacitive 7-inch touchscreen, 16 gigabytes memory with an additional micro SD slot to support a further 32 gigabytes of storage. Together with a micro USB, GPS, accelerometer, and gyroscope, the tablet's ultralight and thin chassis is powered by the NVIDIA Tegra 3 quad-core mobile processor that's optimized for cloud gaming with a 12-core NVIDIA GPU. With an aspect ratio of 16 to 10, a 2-megapixel front-facing camera, the WikiPad tablet offers true widescreen HD display and HDMI out. Yay! So in other words, you could stream your TV to your tablet and then stream it to your actual TV. Anyways, consumers will have instant access to entertainment and video game content of over 700,000 apps from the Google Play, from Google Mobile Services, PlayStation Mobile Games from Sony Computer Entertainment, and Tegra Zone, NVIDIA's free app that showcases the best games optimized for the Tegra processor. When the gamepad controller is detached, WikiPad's sleek design and full Android 4.1 Jelly Bean functionality will make it a powerfully versatile tablet for surfing the web, emailing, enjoying all the latest films, books, magazines, and music, conversing via Skype, or experiencing the latest apps at home or on the go. Yay! So again, this is going to be $249? Yeah, $249. It releases June the 11th, so just in a couple of days. It's really sexy looking. So, hey, how you doing?
It's,
The WikiPad. WikiPad gaming tablet.
Yeah, I want to see one in hand first, because looking there, it looks more like something I would hit somebody with. Yeah,
maybe.
Stop touching my shoes! Bam! That's what it looks like.
Well, you know what? It's a droid, so it would survive.
This is true. Droid, I don't know what y'all make y'all's phones out of. Speaking of Windows, droids, and all those types of people, Bill Gates! I need to sit in his lap. I'm going to have to after this. ResearchGate is a social network for scientists, and have had a big boost from Bill Gates. And they scored $35 million in their third round of funding from Mr. Gates and Tenaya Capital. Apparently, what they do is some type of medical research. He was going to invest in the company anyway, but since they needed funding.
On monkeys!
Yes. Yeah. their quote is saying it's built perfectly aligned with their goals of opening up science. That's what they do, some type of science, medical research, and his interest in eradicating diseases. This is from ResearchGate co-founder and chief executive Ejad Madish. I said that nice. Madish is an MD, PhD. Y'all didn't know it was the difference between doctors, right? You can be an MD or a PhD, and if you're both, you're effing awesome. He studied at Harvard, created ResearchGate in 2008 together with Soren Hoffmeier and Horst Fickenstein. Smith, there you go. Today's funding news confirms the report that Gates would be investing in the company, but the earlier report had the funding total wrong and didn't include any of the other investors. The Series C round included investments from Dragoneer Investment Corp, Thrive Capital, and the company's existing investors, Benchmark and Founders Fund. Madish told VentureBeat that he noticed while doing some research that science is basically broken, since scientists only publish positive results. While, as any high school science student can tell you, experience are meaningful whether or not they confirm your initial hypothesis. So you're supposed to show the wrong and the right. I like that. As a result, only 5% of what scientists do actually gets published, he said, leading to a lot of wasted effort and misleading results. He says, many other scientists in the world were making the same mistakes that I have already done. He says, by providing a forum where researchers can upload all their data, lab results, and methodologies, both failed and successful, he hopes to create a new world of open science where information is quickly available. He's, of course, well on his way to his goal. The site that he's opened serves 2.9 million members, all scientists or students of science. And I'm going to join it because I love me some science. The cake is not a lie in this case. These scientists are from 193 countries. The leading countries are the U.S., India, the U.K., and Germany. The site has become exponential. Has seen an exponential increase in the amount of data uploaded by its users in the last 15 months. People are starting to realize the importance for their research and for humanity that they are sharing as much as possible. In addition to biasing communication towards positive, fully baked results, journal-driven publishing that is another shortcoming. In general, a journal is not the right way of publishing information. An article should be published somehow in the cloud and tagged with research tags. If you decide to publish in a journal, you're basically putting it in a silo, which I think is basically wrong. Anyway, I think this is very interesting what he's done. I did not know, because I'm not that deep into the science part. That's probably Baby Natrix's area of expertise. But I did not know that they weren't publishing the parts they got wrong. I always thought that scientists did both. So you're only publishing what you got right. That's not helpful.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. If you can see what somebody else has done wrong and what they did wrong may guide you in the right direction. Y'all know how science projects work, right? You know how you say
it. It could very, very. I can't talk. It could.
But you can, if you're one of the science geek like myself, you can go over to researchgate.net and get yourself signed up. You can sign up with your Facebook if you're lazy like me. Click and sign up with your Facebook. I'm going over to look because I just want to see what's going on. Well, I got to put it. But they want me to put in a university. I'm not affiliated with university.
Well, they think you should be. All right, so the Lions will. Oh, no, hold on. Wrong one. Never mind. Just kidding. Zombie invasion continues. Yay. Zombies Run or Kill Game now for iOS. A long-awaited iOS version of a shooting game, Zombies Run or Kill, has finally come out. Now all the people who use iPhones and iPads can enjoy as the Android users do. It has to still have to wait. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Pixel LLC proudly presents their first game for iOS operating system, Zombies Run or Kill. Do I have this up on the screen? I do not. There we go. Zombies Run or Kill is an addictive zombie shooter game for kids and adults. The main goal of the game is to stay alive and kill all the zombies without being killed. There are various kinds of zombies that will do anything to kill the shooter and eat his brain. Luckily, there are multiple different weapons that can successfully destroy the undead. There are a couple of interesting features for the shooting game that make it different from any other. There are backgrounds that change depending on the time when the game is played.
Oh, that's nice.
When the night comes, the scenery changes from day to night and makes the games more frightening at the same time. The shooter has the opportunity to kill zombies on the beach, on the North Pole that is covered with snow, and the rural countryside. I should be able to say that. Zombies can be found everywhere, and they are spreading like a virus. Yay!
Is it free to play?
It is free to play. It's for the iOS, so if you have...
No droid.
No, it's also on the droid.
What's his name?
Zombies Run or Kill.
Zombies Run or Kill. Okay.
Yeah.
And with that, it'd be time for us to go, lovely people. We'll be back later tonight doing some picks and Easter, we hope, if Ginger doesn't get blown away or snow doesn't fall out and die or something or kill somebody. We're doing geek weddings. Yes.
Yay!
All right. We'll see you guys later. Apparently, GLaDOS does not want to allow us to play music, so can you just give them their kisses?
Wait, there's something running in the background?
They can hear the wind. I can hear your storm. It's your storm.
Oh.
Give them their bye-bye kisses.
Huh?
We gotta go. Give them their kisses.